Wonderful stuff that I'm doing, and thank God for a good sponsor who reminded me to just keep my mouth shut, and reminded me once again that these steps are numbered for a reason. And when I look at it now, and I realize the importance of steps 8 and 9, I truly understand why it wouldn't have been a real good idea a week after I was sober to go out and start apologizing to people, because that's really what I thought it was. That's really what I thought 8 and 9 were. Just go tell everybody I'm sorry. You know, I did that for a lot of years. You know, I said I was sorry a whole lot of times, and it usually ended up being a broken promise and a broken statement. Although I truly believe every time I said I'm sorry, I won't do it again, I meant it. I meant it from the bottom of my heart. But the problem was I didn't know how not to do it again. You know. You know, like I said, I was on that, in the beginning, I was on that pink cloud and just feeling so wonderful about the world. And I wanted to save the world, and I just wanted to go out and shout it from the rooftops. And that isn't the way to do it. I learned early on that steps 8 and 9, not early on, but as I got into them, I learned that steps 8 and 9 are about... they're about cleaning up my messes, cleaning up the wreckage of my past, and the big and the small, that I made for whatever reason, out of anger, revenge, jealousy, pride, whatever. And they all needed tending to. And I needed to figure out, what the heck they were and who the people were, you know. Steps 1 through 7 helped me to do that, these steps are for me, and they're about changing an unmanageable life to a life that is managed with the help of a higher power. Step 4 helped me to get a clear understanding of my actions, or I mentioned before, patterns of behavior or defects. And now step 8 is going to pinpoint for me the specific people that I harmed because of those actions or those defects, those patterns of behavior, so to speak. So I became again willing. Willing is such an important word, to try and free myself from all this garbage. And that's what step 8 starts to prepare me for. It prepares me for a change. Excuse me. And actually, I didn't realize it, a very big change. Step 8 and 9, like I said, are... In the beginning, I didn't think, when I went through and I read the steps 1 through 12, I thought 8 and 9, like I said, were really not that big of a deal. And once I got into 8 and 9, I realized really how important, this thing is in reference to my sobriety and changing the person that I am on the inside. Because this is about the inside job. This is about changing all the craziness inside here and in here, and making me, I don't want to say a better person, making me well. Because like I said, for a lot of years I thought I was a bad person trying to get good. And I came in here and you people told me and showed me that I'm a sick person trying to get and stay well. So step 8 is about preparing me for that change. And later on in step 9, I tried to the best of my ability to make the amends to these people that I've harmed, to change the actions or behaviors so that hopefully I don't do them again, that I don't continue to do them. The amends can be like little trivial things, as well as big major situations, and I had both of my life, both of them. When I made the list and looked at it, there was both. And when I made my, I remember when I made my first, I've done it more than once, but when I made my first list for my the amends that I felt I needed to make, and I talked with my sponsor about it, he actually had me kind of do two lists. And one was like the easy ones, and there was a few of those, and then the other side was the harder ones, and there was a lot more of those. And that was because, like I said, the trivial things are one thing, but the big major messes are another one. And for me, it was a lot harder to look at those. And like the prior steps, I need to be as thorough as possible. I need to be very thorough when I do this. In order to do step 9 and actually make the amends, I have to have a good idea of who I'm going to make them to. So that's what step 8 is all about. And it prepares me for the amends process, so to speak. Up to this point in working these steps, the prior 7, some major personal changes have been made, you know, and I'm not realizing all of that at the time. And I look back on it and I realize, you know, really how profound these steps are in your life. And then now I get to this, to these two steps, and it's more about not just me. It's about a whole lot of other people as well, you know. Up until now, 1 through 7, pretty much is about me, you know, and my higher power and whatnot, but I'm dealing with mostly personal. And now, when I get into 8 and 9, I'm really starting to look at the wreckage of my past. And for me, it was scary. I didn't think it was going to be, because like I said, I thought I was just going to go tell everybody, hey, I'm sorry, and, you know, life was going to go on, and I was going to live happily ever after. And that's not the way it was. Not the way it is. The steps up until now have really made me get humble and look at myself from the inside. From the inside out, actually. And I've seen the damage that I've done and the people that I've hurt, as well as myself. You know, when I look at that and I make this list, and it makes it once again real, you know, and I realize that there are a lot of people that I'm not going to say that I hurt every individual that was on the list, but there were wrongs that needed to be made right. Making the amends is really vital to my recovery, and I had to realize, and I was actually told by my sponsor, that that I'm not making these amends to punish myself. You know, this isn't about, you know, telling myself what a bad boy I was again. Because that's not what it's about. You know, it's about helping myself get beyond the shame and the guilt and the degradation. You know, those just underlying hurtful feelings that I had. Step eight, excuse me, helps me to bury the past and look to the present and move ahead with life. Up until now, the prior 7 steps have been dealing, like I said, solely with myself. And now I'm going to get into a lot more. Other people are involved, and making these amends is more about, it's more about me than the ones I've harmed. And that was the other thing that was kind of like a catch-22 thing for me. And I always have to remember that, even still today, that everything I do, absolutely everything I do, excuse me, in Alcoholics Anonymous and in these rooms, is for me, is to help me stay sober today. It helps me strengthen my decision not to pick up a drink today. That's what my sponsor tells me all the time. So when I'm making these amends, when I make this list and I'm going to go out and make these amends, I have to remember that it's about me. It's not about the other people. It's not about the ones that I've harmed or the ones that have harmed me, you know, because that's part of it too. These two steps end up freeing me from a lot of, I guess, emotional and mental baggage, you know, a lot of stuff that I carry around subconsciously that I really didn't realize until I started to make this list. And then that's when it got real. Like I said, you know, these were all things that I was drinking at for a lot of years, a lot of resentments, a lot of situations that happened, and I drank at them for a lot of years. Step 8, I have to remember, is just about making a list, making the list. And it's important for me to remember that, because like I said, when I put things on paper, for me, it now makes it real. And it's not about, you know, it's not about trying to sidestep a situation, or maybe I won't look at this one or whatever. And that's why, like I said, my sponsor and I talked at the time, and he said, the ones that you're struggling with, put them in a different list, but you need to be thorough and you need to put them all down, you know, because when I do that, like I said, once again, it makes me real, and it makes me it makes me think about and you know, I guess think about the people, you know, exactly my part in it, how I harmed them, so to speak. Even when I felt that I was harmed by somebody else, there was still a part in it that was mine, and that's what I need to look at. When I write them down, when I make this list, I put it on paper, for me, it helps keep me honest. Like I said, when I'm thinking stuff in my head, I can distort it and change it around. But when I start to write it on paper, when it's in black and white in front of me, it's real, and it's keeping me honest, and it's keeping me humble. And like I said, so I don't accidentally or intentionally leave somebody off the list. Whether I really want to put them on there or not, I need to put them on there. And that's all I'm doing, is making a list. You know, some of the people that were on that list that I made, really, I was really uncomfortable when I was thinking about, like, having to confront them or make this amend. And like I said, when I put them on the list, I know that at some point in time, God willing, I'm going to make that repair. You know, I'm going to make that amend. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it right now or when, but I know if it's on that list, that's what I need to remember. And that's what my sponsor told me. You make the list and, you know, God willing, at some point in time, you know, if God sees fit, the amend will be made. And, you know, it helps me also, like I said, it helped me to keep from getting ahead of myself, because, and I hear it a lot of times in meetings when I hear people, like in a 12 and 12, if you're talking about step 8, and how many times in a meeting before you know it, people are talking about making the amends, and, you know, the amend process, and, well, I did this, and I had to realize that, and you got to get back on track, because, like I said, step 8 is about making the list. And like I said, I had to be careful, because you know, I would get ahead of myself and start getting all keyed up and worried and wondering. Just put the names on paper, and it's a little preparation. You know, step 8 is a preparation for, because it also helps me become willing. Step 8 and 9, like I said, they were easy steps for me to try to get around them. And it was because of my pride and fear. you know. It was because, you know, once I finally got to doing 8 and 9, it wasn't like what I thought in the very beginning, I'll just go tell somebody I'm sorry. When I got to 8 and 9 and I realized what they were, I was actually afraid to do it, you know. I didn't want to confront these people and have to go up and bring up an old situation or whatever, something that happened in the past or whatever, and try to make a wrong right, which is what an amend is. You know, but it was really humble, and it keeps me honest with myself. And also, one other thing was, for me anyway, mostly because of people pleasing. I was a people pleaser, and I just let people walk all over me at times. I had to put myself on that list. You know, I didn't realize that till I talked to my sponsor about it. And he actually mentioned that. He actually told me that I should add myself. The other thing, like I said, I always need to look at with step 8 was my part in something. And I had to, even, like I said, when I could justify what I did, because, you know, if they wouldn't have done that to me, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have whatever. And, you know, it's not about that. It's not about what they did to me. It's about my part in the situation. It's not about anyone else. It's simply about me. And it's me making things right for me. You know, it's me cleaning up my side of the street. Another very important part of step 8 is, like I said, is becoming willing. Became willing to make the amend. Making an amend, I learned, is not making an apology. I mean, that's part of it. Making an amend is it's fixing something that's broke to mend it. If I'm going to mend a fence, I got to fix whatever's broken, whether it's a post or a rail or whatever. And you know, making amends helped me to improve and change how I do things from that point forward. If I'm going to apologize to somebody for talking about them behind their back, but I keep on talking about them, making that apology doesn't do a whole lot of good, you know. But making an amend, the amend is to change that behavior and stop the gossip or whatever the case might be. But if I just say I'm sorry for doing it, but I continue to do it, then what was the sense in making the apology? I did that for a lot of years. Another tough part of step 8 for me is at the very end of it, like I already said, to make the amends to them all, you know, quote unquote. And that tells me that most importantly, even the ones that I don't want to write down, because I think that they wronged me or whatever, I still need to put them on the list. And I have to be willing to make those amends as well. And I prayed to God about it, and I my sponsor would tell me, ask your higher power, ask God to help you be willing. You know, pray for the willingness. As step 9 wasn't always hard. It wasn't hard to do, but it was more about, like I said, being uncomfortable. Or even being afraid to make the amends. Not knowing the reaction of the other person or if they would even have me. You know, I thought a lot about that, was, you know, projecting, excuse me, what might happen or what this other person is going to think or say. And that really doesn't matter. You know, whether the amend is received from the person or not, really is not part of it. Is not a factor. But I know once I make the amend, no matter whether the other person has it or not, it eased the guilt and the shame the remorse and the fear and all that stuff inside of me that I was dealing with. And I know that making these amends is God's will for me. I truly do believe that. And I have to remember that, like I said, I'm making the amend for me. It's the sake of me cleaning up the wreckage of my past. It's not about the other person. And that's so important. I've said that a number of times, but that for me in steps 8 and 9, it's really vitally important to remember that this is all about me. It's not about anybody else. I obviously was able to make the ones that were most comfortable or easy first. and the other ones will come in time. You know, my sponsor would say pray and ask God for the opportunities. And if they're meant to be, the opportunity will present itself. I still have some amends today that haven't been made. I still have a couple on that list that I made, whatever, you know, 20-some years ago, 28 years ago, whenever it was, that haven't been made to this day. But they're still on the list, and I'm still willing. And if God sees, if God sees the opportunity, I believe, or if God sees fit, I believe the opportunity will present itself. And also in step 9, you know, the amend has to be direct, if at all possible. And to me that meant like face to face, you know. And this is something that was really an easy or not an easy thing to do, but it's very humbling. But it even says in the book that sometimes a phone call or a letter, if that's all you can do, somebody moves away or whatever, that will work. But it says to try to make the amend direct, make direct amends whenever possible. And that's, you know, the wording is important. And you know, I was able to make a couple amends at the gravesite. And I believe that those are just as powerful. I have a fellow that I sponsor that went through the same thing, and he went back to his father's homeland, and he made, and I suggested, and we talked about it before he went back, and he was able to make an amend to his dad, where his ashes were spread on this home island where he came from, and he buried his 1-year coin at the tree where he spread the ashes, and it was really powerful for him. And he told me, and I believe it because I experienced it in my own situation, that he felt the presence. You know, I made amends to my mother at the gravesite, and I really felt my mom's presence. And I think it's, even if somebody has passed and they've moved on, I personally think it's still just important to make that amend because I'm making it for me. You know, I'm clearing up my inside. The amend has to match the harm that I did. Like I said, for a lot of years, people weren't believing I'm sorry anymore. There were just too many broken promises. So the words have to be supported by action. And I have to show, not tell. And that's where I think the direct part, the face-to-face, really shows probably a lot of other people how serious we are about this when we do it. Most of my family amends were and still are what I call living amends. And it, you know, by example of the way I'm living. And that was the best way for me, mostly with my kids. I've talked with my kids in depth, but for the three of them, most importantly, is I just try to show them, you know, through my example of how I'm living today. They were all very young when I stopped drinking. My youngest was only 14 months old, so he doesn't even remember me drinking. But it was still important for me, and not necessarily them, but my ex-wife and a few other people in my family, siblings and whatnot. you know, my intentions in step nine aren't to make a temporary repair. It's about restoring a relationship, or, like I said, making a wrong right, fixing something that's broken. I was told that the ones that I struggle with, because I feel they harm me as well or more, first to pray about it and ask to be able to forgive them. And my sponsor told me that. Pray and ask God to help you forgive those people for what they did to you. And that in turn will help you to be able to make the direct amends to them. You know, if God could forgive me, so can I forgive others. And it wasn't always easy, not easy at all, but it was a way to look at it. And, you know, something really important also in step nine, like I mentioned, is I need to watch my expectations, which are just resentments under construction, you know. This is about me, and I have to try not to expect too much from anybody else. And that's really hard when you're doing this step, when you're going up and you're confronting somebody and saying, look, I gotta tell you, you know, we gotta work something out here. And you know, I'm expecting them just to be all happy and shake my hand and wish me good luck, and it wasn't that way always, you know. I only had a couple, I can honestly say, I only had a couple that did not go well, and so be it, you know, I did my part. You know, I need to remember that I'm trying to do God's will, not mine. You know, I'm trying to live the way that I feel God wants me to live. And that's truly what I believe that these two steps are about. You know, I really do believe that. I need to bring God into all of this, or my higher power. And very importantly as well, is to realize that when to do so would injure me or others. You know, that is so vitally important too. I'm not going to gain anything if I hurt someone more by making an amend, or if I cause myself more trouble in the process, you know. And I had a couple situations that I'm not going to get into that I need to look at and talk to my sponsor about it. And it, you know, a simple, you know, I'm sorry for the way things went in the past, being my ex-wife, and like I said, just showing her through my example. And she knows today, you know, she understands that. But for me to bring up some of the things that I did that she doesn't know that I did, that would not have done any good. It would hurt her so much more. And that's not what this is about, you know. You know, the Big Book gives us a list of promises, and that becomes realities as we work the first nine steps. And, you know, in doing that, I've realized that. And, you know, steps eight and nine, when they're all finished, and I didn't realize how important these promises were, they really do make you think about where you're headed. You know, the way... the direction of my recovery from that point on, because from this point on, the way I've been taught and the way I understand it, these were all the action steps, you know. And now, once I get through this ninth step, I'm going to go into the last three are the maintenance steps, and they're daily maintenance steps. So this is the end, as far as I'm concerned, not the end, but as far as the steps go, of the actual action, and of me putting forth the action to clean up my inside. You know, to, like I said, it's an inside job. But after we're all through this, on pages 83 and 84 in the Big Book, are the promises, and they come right after step nine in the Big Book, and it reads: if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. This portion of the meeting, question and answer, anything regarding your own 8th and 9th steps or anything Steve had to talk about? Anybody? Nobody, everybody's solid with their 8 and 9.
Hi, Steve. Bruce Alcoholic. Thanks a lot. That was a nice message. You answered the question I was going to ask you, so I'm kind of like making one up. So if you got a sponsee, let's say, that told you about an amends that he needs to make because he stole $500 from somebody and it's been bothering him, he needs to give it back. Well, and that person happened to pass away. Is there anything you would tell your sponsee to do or not to do? Or if the sponsee said, well, I guess I don't have to do it, he passed away.
Well, yeah, it would be an easy out, that's for sure. No, I think for me, what I would probably tell the person is, I don't know if you could or would actually go to the gravesite, but I would just get off by myself and pray about it, and I would still tell them to try to make that amend, that, you know, like I said, almost like the spiritual thing, because once again, it's all about clearing up the wreckage of my past to take care of what's going on inside of me, and whether that person's there or not, I still need to take care of my part of it. So I would still tell him to go ahead and make that amend anyway. If you're able to go to that person's grave or whatever and make that amend. That's what I would say.
Save the money on the grave. Give it to me out there.
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean the book talks about in some situations you can make a contribution to a charity that they might have been part of, or send it to their family, whatever. So I don't know, the monetary thing, that I guess to each their own, whatever works for them. But I would make the verbal part of it, getting it out, I would definitely still encourage them to make that anyway. And if they want to part with the cash. You're not even supposed to be here.
She was trying real hard.
Put it in the minutes so Kevin knows next week that she was here, because she's not supposed to come back.
No, I do have a question though. So what are your thoughts on, like, some of my amends, I had the opportunity to make those before I formally did this step. Because of people, you know, I knew I owed her. I would see somebody, like say somebody I went to college with or whatever, and I only see them once in a while. Maybe I only see them like once. So I know that's my opportunity to go ahead and make that amends. You know, by then I had done my step 1, 2, and 3, so I had built a foundation. What's your thought on that?
It's the same with that. I mean, that's a good point, because the same with that, as well as like steps 10 and 11. I was doing step 10 and 11 long before I formally did steps 10 and 11. You know, I was, I was looking at my day and trying to correct wrongs and whatnot, praying and meditating. So I think the same thing with that. If the situation is there, you have to, you know, if God presents it, I mean, I don't think there's a wrong way to do a right thing. So, no, I would agree with that. That it, you know, I think the point, though, what I was saying in the beginning was, in the very beginning, and I know a lot of people have felt the same way, because I've heard a lot of people say that, that they wanted to just run out and tell everybody how sorry they were. And, you know, I'm going to be a better person now. So I think that's the point that the book and myself and whatever is referring to, not jumping the gun on it. But yeah, in that case where, you know, I've heard people say that somebody, whether it be a family member or whatever, that they knew they needed to make things right with them, were dying. You know, and they, you know, I mean, if I had a sponsee that told me that somebody very close in their life was dying and they needed to make amends to that person before they died and they were only on their fourth step, I would go with them if I had to, and I would encourage them to go make that amend. I think in those situations you almost have to. That's a good point.
All right, I got one question. I think a bunch of us have at least one financial amends to make when we're coming in. I know in my case, I had one, a big one, that's going to take me a long time to actually make up. But it's, you know, but it's going. And this is my brother and sister-in-law, and they did a lot for me when I was really in trouble, and they continued to do to help me when I was, you know, when I was on my way to recovery. But you know, between my sponsor and I, we knew, okay, this amends has to happen. You know, my brother and sister-in-law know what I'm doing. They know a little bit about Alcoholics Anonymous. How to prepare to make one of those big amends?
I had a similar situation myself, and I think a lot of it, and whatever amends they are, my sponsor was at the time, and even my sponsor today would be the same way, would just keep mentioning prayer and pray about it. And I truly believe, I don't believe in coincidence, I truly believe that God will present the opportunity. I really do believe that. And I had a situation myself where it was a former employer. I worked for him for quite a few years. And I didn't steal from him, per se, steal from him. But, you know, I padded my time card, and I drove truck is what it was, so I kept track of my own hours. And I padded that, and there was a lot of other things I did. Not a lot of other things. There were other things I did for financial gain. And I knew I had to make this right with him. And, you know, I prayed about it, and the opportunity came up. He ended up being the person that hired me to the job that I have today, that I still have today. He was a supervisor in Harbor Creek, and he actually, and in the course of that being hired, I was able to talk to him and work out everything, and he knew exactly what was going on anyways. He was aware of it, but he was an old family friend. But, you know, I just prayed about it, and the next thing I knew, I was in a job interview with the guy, you know. So I don't know, like I said, I'm a big believer in praying about it. And, you know, I mean, do the footwork and I guess leave the results up to him. Because like I said, I still have a couple amends that I have not been able to make, and I don't know if I ever will. But I put him on that list, I became willing, and if God ever sees fit for me to directly confront these couple of people, I'll do it. But until that happens, if and when that happens, I just leave it up to him.
Thank you. Anybody else? Nope.
tell you.